Welcome to Sunflower Signals, where we explore the mystical, the unseen, and create a safe space for energy workers to share their stories. Today, we're unlocking one of the most fascinating doorways in the universe. If you've ever worked with a psychic and wondered how they were able to see your future, look no further than the Akashic Records. Imagine discovering a hidden room in your home that holds the story of your soul, past lives, future possibilities, and guidance for your life's purpose. This room is real, not in the physical sense, but in the higher planes of consciousness, an ethereal, energetic library where every soul returns between lifetimes for learning, healing, and life review. Our guest today, Bill Foss, is a renowned Akashic Records expert, teacher, and healer. Guided by spirit and inspired by ancient spiritual traditions, Bill has spent years helping people access their own book of life through workshops, private sessions, and his book, Journey to the Akashic Records, which I've started reading and find absolutely fascinating. Bill teaches how to receive intuitive guidance, clear emotional blocks, and awaken the hidden gifts of the soul, leading to a more enlightened way of living. I had the opportunity to sit with Bill for a reading at the Psychic Fair in San Diego about a month ago, and he gave me wonderful insight into my future and the path that I'm on. Bill, thank you so much for joining me today. When I first heard Cosmic Library, I pictured a physical room, but the Akashic Records, like I said, are more of an energetic field we can tap into to receive guidance. In your book, you highlight six different pathways or keys that we can use to unlock this information. Can you talk a little bit about those?
Good morning, Bo. Yes, it's I'm happy to be here with you on your show. And there are multiple different pathways into the Akashic Records. I wanted to touch base on one thing that you mentioned in your introduction there. As it is ethereal and multidimensional, it is in the higher dimensions above third dimensional reality. And the higher dimensions are very real. The scientific world, quantum physics, the groups that study metaphysically that are tied in with like the top notch, top shelf physicists and scientific community, they all know that the higher dimensions are a very real place. And as the ancient masters had used this constantly and continually to the Tibetan masters would step through a doorway into the hereafter that they called going into the rainbow body. So they would, and they could bilocate, they could transport themselves to higher planes of existence. They could disappear from a reality altogether. Very interesting stuff. But I just wanted to make that comment because this place isn't a supposed or what if or maybe it exists or we're dreaming it up sort of a scenario. The Akashic Records goes back through history, through eons, back to the times when humans were just starting to connect with the stars and they were asking the questions, who am I? Now, of course, they had guidance from off-world beings that were coming in that were already connected with these great libraries, the universal libraries or the libraries from their home worlds. And they operate much differently than, here's the segue, the Akashic Records in other star systems and home worlds operates much differently than it does here because we're at a denser rate of vibration in the 3D reality. So that's not a bad thing. It just is. Our third dimensional reality, based on time and space, length, width, and height, and time, is we are on a planet that has a gravitational field. And our souls are these higher beings. They're part of God. It's the God light, or what I call the celestial soul. Now, we all have a body spirit as well. And the celestial soul has DNA in it, DNA from Creator, but DNA from our past lives, which is stored in the Akashic Records in this great hall in our books of life. And then we also have within our DNA in our body and our energy fields on the earth, as the soul field is with us on the earth, then we have our chakra fields and we have our physical cells in our body, which is still multidimensional as we know it. The whole earth is multidimensional, and this is one great hologram. But third dimensional reality is, it's dense. So there's more of a, we have sentient experience here. So this gravitation, this gravitational field that we have here on the planet, what it does is it magnetizes these, the human species, the human bodies, our physical bodies. And we have a brain, nervous system. We have our emotions, our feelings in our body, which make us sentient feeling beings. So, the emotional body and the mental body are also connected into this DNA. And so we have a body spirit inside of us. And this is what the shamans of the world, which work directly with the earth multidimensionally, but in a different way, in a deeper way. So the shamanic goes deep into the earth energies on a quantum level. The Akashic Records goes higher up into the etheric or the multidimensional state of the soul and the body and its presence here in a multidimensional way, in a higher plane of existence, which is all streaming down through us constantly and continually. So we have a connection from our crown chakras and our soul field, and the soul sits over a person's body, over a person's head, or around their body. And there's no rhyme or reason. It's different for every single individual. But those are the two primary positions of the soul. Now, the soul field is what connects into the Akashic Records. So if you can just imagine a great field around your body and your crown chakra, and you have, let's just imagine a thread or a cord. And they talk about this when we sleep, where there's a cord that comes up from someone, you know, that they go out and they astral travel, similar to that. This is a higher, finer thread that's connected directly. So everybody on the planet is connected into the Akashic Records in an ethereal way. I'm using the term ethereal to just loosely to describe here, but this thread that moves up into the Akashic Records, it goes to that soul's book of life. And that soul's book of life has all of the earthbound incarnations that the soul has lived. So all of your, this lifetime, your last lifetime, the lifetime before that, on and on and on, back through all of Earth's history. And then the book of life also has information concerning lifetimes in other star systems, which can also be accessed. But the Akashic Records and the Book of Life within the Earth Records is all about, it's primarily in place for the soul's learning and the lifetimes here on this planet.
Let me ask you this, does it also include future lives?
It can. It's going to, it can, but it's more concerned with a very interesting question. But think of it as far as future lives go. Think of multidimensional library, home, way station for all of the souls visiting the earth plane. Think of it as being more in the eternal now. So they don't have linear time up there. Time. They understand how linear time works, and we all do when we get to the other side. We just have this amazing knowing. So the eternal now is past, present, and future all in the here and now, the eternal now up there. So we have to go through down here, we have to go through what we're going through presently before we can start jumping ahead, because we are creating as we go through thought, word, and deed. This system is set up so that we can have earthbound experiences. We can have responses and reactions, both mentally and emotionally, to the world around us, so that we can love and so that we can be creators. So that's big stuff. And now, your original question was, what are the pathways to get in? So number one, you're already in. You're already connected. Around that, most people on the earth plane aren't aware that they're connected. So this has been lost information over time, buried through history, lost, and sometimes guided away from. So if we went back to ancient Atlantis, we would find a civilization of oneness. Everyone was connected through their third eyes. There were no secrets. Everybody knew everything, and it was a very harmonious existence. Even before Atlantis, in previous galactic cycles, when we come from the unity into separation and then back into unity every 26,000 years, 13,000 years into unity, then cycling out 13,000 years into it, it generally, it gets a little better each time. The unity, but also the separation causes, last time we went through it, I mean, we know what we've been through in our recorded history, and this is all in the cycle of separation. As we know, we're coming back into unity. The big question is how long it'll take us to get into that unity, and everybody in the metaphysical community hopes it's going to happen in this lifetime. I'm so ready for it. And even so, we just have to be in the now and be doing the work, because we're bringing heaven to earth. We're literally living, we're either living heaven or we're living hell, or a variation in between. And I mean, this is a very interesting, the earth plane is a very interesting cosmic playing field that we have here. And so, the number one, you're always connected into the records. And if you get one of my books, or you study the Akashic Records, or you stumble upon it, or maybe from past life you just start remembering, which is what happened to me, and I found books on it. And when I investigated originally, I thought to myself, how is it that I know all of this already? You know, it was like the words were appearing on the page.
You said in your book it was almost like it was coded into your DNA, right?
Almost, yeah. It was almost as if it was something that I already knew. And, you know, that brings up the question of, do we know, you know, is that a future, you know, is that a future life? Well, it was definitely a future probability and a future possibility. And, you know, I look at it now as this, we call it the soul's purpose. We have a soul's purpose. It can show up in different variations in different ways. So as we're connected into the records, whether we're aware of it or not, we are sent here to have a variation in this simulation, in this holographic dream world and simulation that seems very real to us, very sentient, of our soul's purpose. We're sent here to have a variation of the soul's purpose. And that can play out in a myriad of different ways. And it takes a lifetime. And our lifetimes are relatively short compared to lifetimes in other systems and planets. And and some would say it was set up that way, you know, to for a larger group of people to come here and have an experience. So we have a lot of tourists. You know, we're all tourists, so to speak, you know, and we come down here, and a lot of us have been here for many, many, many thousands of years.
And when you say that, you mean continuing to come back is different.
Continuing to come back. There are souls that get caught in the karma of, they come down, they have agreed to have maybe 10 or 12 lifetimes. They come down, they're not aware of who they were and the way the reality works. And then something happens and they get lost into, it's sort of like souls can get roped into karmic situations. And then it can take lifetimes to like clear that, because the universe is set up like a grand cause and effect or karmic mirror. It mirrors everything that we're doing down here. It is a very fail-safe system. But because we went through this great, we're coming through this separation, that causes cause and effect, that causes karma. And so it becomes very colorful, very creative, very circus-like. And we're moving through this, trying to connect and find all of the pieces. And we found out a lot about ourselves. Think about this time on the earth, how much information that you and I and everyone else out there has available to them at their fingertips from just the internet alone, let alone all of the books that are coming out, all of the mediumship and the visionaries, the prophets, the prophecies, the remote viewing. There are groups that actually remote view into the future, they remote view into the past. There are many people out there, just like you and I, who aren't studying metaphysics, that have a direct knowing and a very clear picture into everything. And, you know,
real quick though, everything can change, to my understanding, because free will does exist, correct?
That's true. Free will does.
And if free will does exist and everything can change, then that would take you one step further to say, okay, well then multiverses must exist as well, where you and I are potentially, our souls are potentially also living out different life paths.
Yes.
Simultaneously, yes. In different dimensions.
Yes, absolutely. And we're kind of touching on three different topics that we talked about before. So we do have free will. And so if we're, you know, if we're responding and reacting down here through our own inner mirrors, and that's broadcast through our subconscious, conscious mind, our nervous system, and our DNA patterns and our emotional body, and we're creating in the 3D reality, manifesting, creating, our responding, reacting, however it shows up for us, and all of the above and any of the above, that it's going to influence our reality. So let's say if there's a big, I mean, anything could be going on, but if you are resolute in it being a certain way for you, then that's going to change your reality. That's going to set up the reality mirror and the stage of how it plays out. The other part of that is that, so you have individual consciousness, which has free will, as creators, but then we have group consciousness. When we get into group consciousness, things get a little more touchy, because group consciousness have to flow where more of a multitude of people wake up or are influenced in a certain pattern or way that creates their reality. And we see this with schooling, we see it with the government institutions, we see it with political parties. Those are just some some different variations.
Groupthink constructs.
Right, right. And even within that, then think about it, then we have yogis and monks and masters and saints and
different people, religions.
Different religions. And even if someone is a born again Christian, you know, which has, there's a lot of rights and wrongs within the ego. There's a lot of good and evil in, you know, it just depends. So some of the religions or some of the path, spiritual paths have more oneness and less the path of least resistance, which allows that individual to walk through the fire of whatever's going on in the world. And we see that with the great masters. That's why I brought up the masters. And gee whiz, you know, based on that alone, it's not terribly a bad thing to become a monk, you know. And many people have went through things in their lives where, you know, they would think, oh my gosh, I would feel so much safer if I were just tucked away in a monastery. I'd just give everything up. And that's, I mean, that seems like, and a lot of people do that. A lot of people out in the world do that. And then they'll cycle through that for a long portion of their life. When a soul is walking through that fire and going through situations in their life, having to react and respond to uncomfortable situations, go through harrowing relationships of conflicts, could be going to war, all of these things in this cosmic circus, this grand play that we have going on down here, that soul is experiencing at what could be the highest level for them.
When they're dealing with the conflict and the struggles that are being presented to them.
Right. Because when we're faced with that, we are learning. Even as uncomfortable as it seems in the moment, if we can always go deeper and find the golden thread, and oftentimes the ego gets involved with that, and the ego says, you know, okay, am I just trying to make myself feel better? You know, am I just playing along with, you know, this is just, this is a, the ego will also look at it in a larger perspective and say, God, what a time burner. I had all these things I wanted to do in life, and now it's this, and this is dragging on, whatever the situation is. But
I want to go snowboarding and water skiing and whatever.
Right. Right. So all the while, that soul is connected into the Akashic Records. And their writing, their higher self, is transcribing all of their thoughts, words, and deeds, the reactions and responses that they're having about what the situation is. So the learning and experiencing that we're going down through down here on the earth plane, which could be good, bad, or indifferent, has patterns of reaction that come up through us.
So would it be fair to say this? The higher self has written certain things that the soul is meant to go through in this life, and the ego then has free will?
That's true. So now the soul has free will too. The soul has free will too, but we're going to feel that free will idea more in the ego and the sentient body than we're going to in the soul. The soul has it all. The soul has the healing, all of the great, everything that we could ever want is in the soul field because it's part of God and it's connected to our higher self. When we're experiencing this stuff on the earth plane, it's all being written into our records in the Akashic Library upstairs in the higher dimensions. And there's great strides that we make through challenging situations and even good situations. It's like, wow, okay, we have expansion and contraction down here, where we'll go through something and it goes and it goes and it goes and it runs and we just can't seem to let it go. And either we get through it until there's some sort of a release or we find a way out of it in the earth plane, or we go deeper within and we say, what is this all about? What's going on? And we find that deeper thread. And oftentimes, a lot of the people that I've worked with, they say, when I found out about the Akashic Records, I had to get a perspective from this because I know it holds some deep keys for me. And then you find out that the soul, which is like it's a celestial body and it's an individuated orb, light orb or sphere of God, which has all of your personalities and your DNA from all of your lifetimes. And it's gathering intel. It's literally just gathering experiences here because your soul is evolving.
So the questions, the two questions, rather than why is this happening to me, should be reframed as to what am I meant to learn from this?
Exactly. That's a very, very good experience. That's a very, very good way to look at it. So you could still get to an answer if you said, why is this happening to me? But I see the perspective you're stating that from. If somebody says, why is this happening to me? It could be from the woe is me sort of, I'm trapped, correct. I'm wallowing in it, I can't seem to get loose from it. And there's always a way, because we can manifest and create anything that we want to down here. But the challenge with that,
we've all got our own pen, right? Because free will does exist.
Right. Right. The challenge with that is that we have our memory wiped before we get here. Because it would be in the three-dimensional atmosphere with within the three-dimensional atmosphere with gravity, thoughts and emotions are compressed down here. So we have, we could have anywhere from 10,000 to 60,000 thoughts in a day. Wow. Some we're aware of, and some are subconscious protocols, voluntary and involuntary responses in the body going on. I mean, the brain's a supercomputer. So we have we could compress thought form activity going on. And then we have compressed emotions going on. I'm happy, I'm sad, I'm indifferent, you know. Example, someone going through menopause, emotionally all over the board, you know. Now, you don't have to be going through menopause to be emotionally all over the board, because I've done it many times myself, you know. It's like, oh, this is the greatest day ever. It's greatest, great, what? Now this and that, now I stubbed my toe. Ah, you know, now the car won't start. Now, you know, on and on and on. It's what's next? Oh, now I'm getting a phone call. Now I've got to stop.
It's almost like the game of golf, right? The moment that you think you've got it figured out, it can always fall apart on you.
Yeah, and any sports game could be like that, right?
Yeah.
So that's one of the unique things down here. One of the gifts that we have down here is this higher level of knowledge in the cycle that we're in now. And when we find out about the Akashic Records and being able to connect in, so we can literally connect in. So I don't lose this, because you first asked this. So we're always connected in, like we've been talking about. Then we can intentionally project in, and we can project in through the third eye. A lot of people want to project and astral travel out through their third eye. I highly recommend against astral travel just for the sake of astral travel, because the universe is a very big place. There are space creatures out there. There are entities with consciousness and without consciousness that are looking for snacks, you know, and it's energy. And you run into an entity that has a lot of energy that's larger than you, it may or may not absorb you. or it may or may not have an interaction with you. Now, we do have guides and angels that protect us for some of these purposes, but for all practical purposes, just traveling out and going for a joyride is not, if there's an intention behind it, then it's different. You know, if you have an intention, if you set up and say, I'm going to be safe and protected, I'm always safe and protected when I astral travel, you know, then there's less chance of things going sideways when you get out of body. Going to the Akashic Records is very safe because that is your home away from home. Actually, this is our home away from home. That's where we're from. And upstairs, there is such a oneness and a knowing and a love that's all pervading. And that's why when everybody has a near-death experience, they want to stay because it just feels so darn good.
Yeah.
When we come and then we come down here, because after so many thousand years or hundreds of years or eons upstairs, you know, to an evolving soul, it can, I mean, universal oneness can get a little boring after a while.
When it doesn't, you don't have human touch, right? Which is right. A totally different experience that you can't probably achieve in that other realm.
Absolutely.
And there's other, one other thing that I'm still trying to wrap my head around, and it's that you talk about eons in the spirit realm, but it's my understanding that time in the spirit realm does not exist as it does here. And if that's true, wouldn't that you know, everything that we're experiencing on this dimension or this realm would be happening simultaneously across different dimensions, rather than one after the other? And if that's the case, right, is there new information that's constantly being added to the records as these new multiverses form?
Right. I totally agree. I use the term eons or time upstairs just to sort of make a point, you know, about, but if there's no time upstairs, then it's just that there's no time, you know, and then you have a soul, having the intention of, I'd like to experience what's going on, because they can all see what's here, what's going on.
Yeah.
Down here as well as other worlds.
What do you think that seeing looks like for them? I mean, it's not seeing as we experience it here. It would be, or is it? Or is it more of a feeling? Or is it more of a knowing?
I think there are so many different variations of that that they experience. I think that some of the great souls have what we would call eternal now. Some of the great masters and yogis from India, when they called their soul down into their body, they had what they experienced as, they called it 360 degree awareness. So if you can imagine looking through the mind's eye, out, having a spiritual experience while you're on the earth plane, now we're looking out here, but we have our crown chakra, which is able to sense, and somebody could be having a kundalini experience, so they're able to empathically sense the world around them, and the third eye projecting out and able to psychically, you know, remote view around, but then the soul coming in and having like an actual 360 degree where I could see everything at once type of experience in the fields of the earth plane. So I think that there are souls upstairs that experience that. I also think that there are other souls that just like, they just go from one thing to the next. They can just, they're just like flipping through the records and they can look at whatever they want. They can jump around.
Due to technical difficulties, we've lost Bill. This has been a fascinating and eye-opening episode. And for all you guys that are still listening, I promise you that we'll get Bill back on so that we can wrap this thing up. So a big thank you to everyone who tuned into this episode. If you enjoyed the show, please like, comment, or subscribe. It really helps us reach more listeners. And if you'd like to check out a free sample of my book, 1 Year with My Soulmate, the story that started this whole journey for me, just click the Get a Copy link at sunflowersignals.com. May your day be filled with love, light, and just a little bit of magic.